If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 31. And before we read, I need to make an announcement so that you know. If you saw the signs coming in the doors about if the fire alarm sounds, call 911. I was advised by the fire marshal that we had to put those there also to announce to you guys the reason. We've had problems all week with our fire alarm system because the pit below the elevator is flooded and it has covered the heat detector from our fire alarm system, and fire alarms have been going off. Fire department's been coming. We have a problem with our pump to get the water out of the basement, and we also, the part to fix the fire alarm system has not come. So if a fire alarm does go off, the fire department's not going to be notified, so they wanted us to put these signs and let you know if you hear a fire alarm, somebody call 911, because that's the only way they're going to be able to respond, okay? So now that that obligation is over, let's stand and read the Word of God. Let's read chapter 31, verses 12 through 18. And the Lord said to Moses, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, 'Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths.' For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God." Let's pray. Father God, it's amazing to me to stand here and to look out upon my brothers and sisters in Christ and see the church, see the miracle of you purchasing the church with your blood, to see that you have changed our hearts, you've changed our desires, you've changed who we are, you've made us into a new creation, that we even desire to be here is an amazing thing. And so God, my prayer is that tonight, that as we study your word, our heart's desire will be not just to hear it, but to know you and meet with you in it, and therefore give you the worship that only you deserve. That's my prayer. And so God, please meet with us now. May your spirit be thick. Give us the illumination of your word and understanding of it. And then God, just a willingness and a desire to live it. And we pray this in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior and our King. Amen. All right, question for you. If I ask you, which of the Ten Commandments is broken most, what would you say? Yeah, that would be my question. I said, I can't answer that because you know what? They're all broken so many times. We break them so many times. You know, I said, I wouldn't know how to answer that question. I'm like, all of them. But what if I ask you, which of the commandments is probably most often ignored and maybe misunderstood? I think what we're going to look at tonight might rank pretty close to the top as far as answers to that question. Because what we're going to look at tonight is we're going to look at the Sabbath, okay? And you think about it, most people in the world, most people in a lost world that doesn't know Christ personally, they just treat Sunday's just another day. It's just any other day, right? I call it my boot camp training. My first job out of college in public accounting, we had a gentleman that was a manager in the company, and for him, because we had a conversation, I was lost. But he was just telling me what he did on Sundays. And Sunday for him was his adventure day. That's where he would go out and do his recreation and do his adventure. And I'm telling you, in my mindset, being lost, being in church and having to play a game and have some kind of reputation that to play the game, I was envious of that dude. I secretly wanted my Sundays to be like his Sundays. But that, you think about it, to a lost world, Sunday's just another day of the week. And it can sometimes be that way even in the church. I've heard people that profess to be Christians say that Sunday is really the only day that our family can get together and that our family has together, but going to church and worshiping is not high on their list because that's the day where they can do other stuff, you know? Now, most Christians, most of us, we cease to labor on that day and we come to church and we offer ourselves to God in worship. But here's a question that I had to ask myself in studying this. Do I dedicate the whole day to the Lord? Is the day of the Lord that important to me? Because one thing that we're going to see tonight, one thing that we desperately need to see tonight and that we will come to know, especially as the family of God and especially as the covenant people of God, is that the Sabbath is very important to Him. He takes the Sabbath very seriously. God mentions it 5 times in the book of Exodus. In chapter 16, He brings this up. He talks about the Sabbath in relation to the manna, okay? And that you need to get a double portion on Saturday because on the day before the Sabbath, it's now Saturday, Sunday for us. But you get a double portion because there's going to be no manna and you are not to gather it because it's not going to be there. Okay? He brings it up again in Exodus 20 when he gives us the commandment. He brings it up again in Exodus 23:12 where the commandment is repeated in the book of the covenant. He brings it up in our passage tonight and then he brings it up again at the beginning of chapter 35. Okay, so as we see, this obedience to this commandment is very important to God, and therefore it needs to be very important to us. And so remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy, it's often neglected sometimes, and a lot of times it's misunderstood. But what we're going to look at tonight is specifically, too, in the context of what we've been studying concerning God's instructions to Moses concerning the tabernacle. And we're going to look at it and we're going to discover what I think, at least for me, was some very cool things. And this study's given me kind of new insight and new understanding, and I'm thankful for it. And so I want to try and communicate that to you. All right. So the first thing I want us to see that we see in this passage is that the Sabbath is a sign. Okay. And he gives us 2 signs. And the first one, he says, it's a sign of being sanctified, set apart, and made holy. Look at verses 12 and 13. And the Lord said to Moses, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, 'Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you.'" Okay, now the first thing that comes to my mind when we read that is, okay, what kind of sanctification is the Lord doing? You know, and we start theologically thinking about that. And from the teaching that we've gotten here, so, okay, is he talking about, this would be a conversation that Brett and I would have. Is this positional sanctification? Is this progressive sanctification? And, you know, we look at that. But then if you start thinking about it, it doesn't matter. Because think about both. Positional sanctification, being saved, being set apart as holy, okay, being declared not guilty and being declared righteous in our justification before the Lord. How does God do that? He sent His Son to die a death that we deserved. He sends Christ to die a death in my place that I might be justified before Him and set apart as holy and righteous because I've been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Who did that? In Brett's prayer, who did that? God did. God takes the initiative. God pursues us. God sanctifies us positionally. He sets us apart as holy by saving us through the blood of Christ and setting His love upon us, and it's all of His grace. So it is the Lord, it is the Lord God of Israel that sanctifies us and saves us. But think about, go even further. It's also the Lord working in us as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling that progressively sanctifies us, that grows us in Christ, that makes us become more holy and more holy and more conformed into His image. This is a result of the positional sanctification, and now the progressive sanctification takes place because, think about it, the work that God has begun in us, He will bring to completion. And so we are totally dependent upon God for our sanctification. He is the Lord that sanctifies us, and we need to always remember that and be totally dependent upon the Lord and the power of His Spirit. And so what do we see from this? What do we see from this sign that the Lord wants us to know that it is He that sanctifies us? And we see that the Sabbath is a gift. It's a sign. It's a gift. Why? To promote. It's a gift given to us to promote the knowledge of who God is and what He's done. It's a day set aside from the labor and the worries of this world for us as the covenant people of God to know God more intimately and to know Him as our God and to rest in His grace and to rest in who He is and what He has done. Think about this in the context of the tabernacle. The Israelites didn't need just a place to worship. They didn't need just a building. They needed more than that. They needed holy time to get to come to know, to meet and commune with their God. That was God's dwelling place. That was that the things of the tabernacle showed that He was at home and He was present. He was among them, and they needed time to get to know Him and commune with Him. And God graciously provided a day for that to happen and to take place. This day was God's way of providing a time for His people to know Him more intimately as their God. And in this process of keeping the Sabbath, they would become more holy and more like Him, which is what His people in Israel was to do. They were so to delight in God and reflect Him to a lost and dying world that the nations would come to know the God of Israel. And how was this going to be accomplished? Partly it's accomplished by them spending time in prayer and praise and worship as the people of God together. To know Him and to make Him known. Their covenant relationship with God was a sanctifying relationship. And keeping the Sabbath was part of that sanctification process. As God's people set apart a day to know Him more, to worship and to rest in Him, then God would set them apart for His service and sanctify them. Now think about that. Think about the meaning that that brings to Jesus' words that said that the Sabbath was made for man. It's in Mark 2. It was the Sabbath was made for man. Why? To get to know God more, to know God more, to have that physical and spiritual refreshment. And it brings meaning to the words that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath as we find our physical rest and our spiritual refreshment and nourishment in Him alone as the one who has justified us, who has sanctified us before God, and has brought us into the spiritual rest of God by His grace. So the Sabbath was a sign of being sanctified and set apart unto God as holy in our relationship with Him. to promote the knowledge of God, to get to know Him more. And he also, in this passage, says that the sign, this was a sign, the Sabbath was a sign of the God of creation and His rest. Look at verse 17. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. The Sabbath goes back to creation. I want you to think about that. The Sabbath goes back to creation. The God that provides a day that we get to know Him more is the same God that created everything that we see. And how did He do it? He spoke it into existence out of nothing. Think about it. When you're riding in your car, everything that you see spoken into existence by God. When you see the rain fall, and I won't ever look at rain again after Adam Renard told me the story about the rain, where if you take the rainfall in an acre of land, an inch of rain, it weighs 113 tons, and God makes it fall in such a way that it nourishes us instead of crushes us. You think about the seas and the oceans that come as far as only as God allows. You think about the creatures in the deep. I remember Brett's sermon on the, what was it, the Marianas Trench? Is that how you pronounce it? And the creatures, and God does this for His pleasure. This is the same God that pursues us and wants a relationship with us. This is the God of creation. And this is the God that we are in relationship with. And the Sabbath is a sign of that relationship. The God of creation that created everything that we see in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested. And He commands us to do the same for our good. How does Genesis put it? The first six days, Genesis says, and God said. And what happened? Huh? Yeah. Let there be light. Guess God said, let there be light. And what was light? God would say this, let there be this. And whatever God said happened, right? And He did that for 6 days, right? And on the seventh day, Genesis says that God rested from all His work that He had done. Not that He was weary. He spoke it effortlessly out of nothing into existence. So God blessed the seventh day. He made it holy, and it was good. It was very good. Now, here's one of the cool things, or at least I think it's cool. I guess because I'm a numbers guy. You got 6 days in Genesis where God works. The seventh day He rests. And you see in the first 6 days, and God said, and God said, and God said. In the instructions to Moses in the tabernacle, from chapter 25 to 31 in Exodus, there is six, and the Lord said, and there is a seventh. The first six relate to the building of the tabernacle. The seventh is in our passage tonight that tells His people to rest. The Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord said six times, and then the seventh, the Lord says, rest. Exodus echoes the creation account in the building of the tabernacle. That's cool. And the seventh day is provided for His people to know Him more. 6 days to work, seventh day is holy unto the Lord, and we rest just as He did. So the day that God has provided the Sabbath so that we get to know Him more for who He is and what He's done. He's a God who sanctifies us. He's a God of creation. He's a God that is in covenant relationship with us. Now, we start thinking about this and say, okay, this seems out of place, right? God's been giving Moses all these instructions about the building of the tabernacle. Right? Do this, do this, build it this way, build it that way. And then last week we saw, you know, He gave instruction to the artisans. And so we look at this and say, okay, wait a minute, this seems out of place. Why is there instruction about the Sabbath right after all of these instructions for the tabernacle. Okay? Think about it. Remember what the, remember the purpose, to know God more. All right? This commandment is put here to remind Bezalel, Aholiab, and the rest of the artists and the rest of the builders of the tabernacle that, you know what? You have a very high calling, but it doesn't give you an excuse to break the law. It doesn't give you an excuse not to keep the Sabbath. Think about it. These guys were serving the Lord. They had a huge project. This was, they were building and making the most important structure in the world. It would have been easy for them to use their holy calling to come up with an excuse not to keep the Sabbath, or to come up with an excuse not to keep the law. Think about it. Think about how we think sometimes, right? Because this is a lesson that we need to be reminded of, right? This reminds us not to use our service to God as an excuse for breaking His law. But think about it. Think about it sometimes. Okay, I've done this for God, so now I get a break. I get to take a spiritual break now. I've done this, and so now I get to take a break. Maybe it's been hard. Maybe I'm tired, but I've done this, so now I don't have to pursue Christ as hard. I get to take, you know, put it on cruise control. No, we don't. And so this speaks to our heart, okay? Because I can easily come up with a reason that the ox is in the ditch and not want to keep this and not want to honor this day. And God's saying, no, even after all this instruction, even after all this that I've commanded you to do, you keep the Sabbath because you need to know me more. Now, so does this, of course, there's things that we do on the Sabbath. There's works of ministry, preaching and teaching of the gospel. There's works of mercy where we care for the needy because we saw Christ do that. He cared for the needy. We see that there's times to fight fires and do emergency surgeries just as we saw Christ heal the sick. But the rule here, what he's getting at here is our heart, is that we honor God on his holy day. And we must be very, very slow to give ourselves exceptions, even when we think the reasons are good. These two signs were given to promote the knowledge of God, which will lead us to worship and praise of who He is and what He has done. Remember what Pastor Nick has preached to us in this worship series. The way that we worship God rightly is to what? To know Him rightly. And God has given us the Sabbath as a means of grace to know Him more. And we need to take obedience to that very seriously. God does. God takes obedience to this very seriously. We see that in verses 14 and 15. He says, "You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death." What's the penalty for disobedience? Death. And we cringe at that, right? We say, wait a minute, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? Isn't that kind of harsh? That's because it's very absolute, isn't it? Death, okay? And we say, wow. God takes this seriously, you know? This is not just another day for business as usual. This is not, for the covenant people of God, just another day for them to do their own thing. And we think about this harshness in our minds. And the first thing I ask myself, you know, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. If they don't keep the Sabbath, they're to be put to death. I wonder if they ever did that. I wonder if they ever had to put that into practice. Turn to Numbers, chapter 15, verses 32 through 36. While the people of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. He's getting firewood. We would sit here and think, okay, if I need to build a fire, I need to get sticks, right? This man is gathering firewood. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him in custody because it had not been made clear what should be done to him. And the Lord said to Moses, "The man shall be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." And all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death with stones, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Keep the Sabbath day, because it's holy unto you. This man is gathering sticks, and the congregation takes him outside of the camp and stones him to death. And we think, really? Man, that punishment seems severe to us, doesn't it? Why the death penalty? Why does God take this so seriously? What's the purpose that we've seen for the Sabbath? It's to what? Promote the knowledge of the Lord, to know Him more, to grow in our knowledge of Him, to honor Him for what, who He is and what He's done. And so by not keeping this commandment, what this Israelite was really doing was just showing that he was not interested in knowing God. In this context, it's flat out rebellion against God, and it's a way that he was saying to God, "I don't care about knowing you." It was a way that he was saying, "I don't care who you are, I don't care what you've done, and you're not worth my time." And when we, by our actions, do that, we're cutting ourselves off from God. And if you do that, you're cut off from His people. If someone is willing to say that, even indirectly, then they're being cut off because they're cutting themselves off from God. And now we get the picture. Now we get why this is so serious. That's why keeping the Lord's day holy ought to be important to us as the covenant people of God. We should want to know God more. We should want to grow in our relationship with Him. We should want to be more holy and thus be more like Christ, which is what we're predestined for, right? If so, if that's our heart and that's our desire, then keeping the Lord's day holy should be important to us. It will be, because it's part of the process of knowing God. And so rather than treating Sunday just as any other day, we honor that day as holy because it's holy unto the Lord. And it should be to us as well. And so what about the Sabbath today? Look at verses 16 and 18. "Therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God." You've heard it. Probably in questions and discussions, we hear Christians say, we may have even said it ourselves, "Do we still have to keep the Sabbath?" What's wrong with that question? It says, "Do we still have to?" Think about how that question is phrased or asked. Think about it. 6 days aren't enough. We want to claim all seven, and so we begrudge God His holy day because we have to keep the Sabbath. Think about it. What's our greatest need still after we've been redeemed? Christ is our greatest need, to know Him and to know Him more. We are still totally dependent upon Him. Our greatest need is still Christ and His grace. Our greatest need is to know Him more and more and more in an intimate and personal way. And part of the way that we do that is God providing for us a Sabbath day to come together and to worship as His body, as His covenant people. And we think, you know, do I have to do this? Think about the benefits of coming together on the Sabbath to know God more. We get spiritual refreshment. We get physical rest. By attending, we even give evangelistic witness to our neighbors. Philip Gray and Graham Ryken said this, and this is cool. Speaking of the Sabbath, he said, "We stop working and instead rest in God's peace. We stop producing and rest in God's provision. We stop accomplishing and rest in our identity in Christ. We stop acquiring and rest in God's care. We stop worrying and rest in God's sovereignty." That's pretty amazing, isn't it? We think about the benefits of knowing God. We think about the benefits of being identified in Christ. And you know what? What we should be saying is not that we have to keep the Sabbath. Is that, but we get the Sabbath. We get to know God more. It's not an obligation, but it's a privilege. It's not a chore, it's a gift. It's not a burden, it's a delight. We get the Sabbath. Because we get God. And many Christians, or many people will argue that this is no longer applicable to us, right? We're not under law, we're under grace. We know that Christ has fulfilled the Sabbath. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. So we find our rest in Him every day, so we don't need the Sabbath. But has your need to know God ceased? No, it hasn't. And the moral law of God continues. We see in this verse, it says, this is a covenant forever. It is to go throughout their generations. This need for a day of rest and knowledge of God was to continue forever to all the generations for the people of God. Why? Because it's for our good. It's because we get to know Him more. You see it in the New Testament. You see it in the early church. They cherished Sunday. They cherished coming together. They cherished the worship of the Lord, the day of rest and the worship together. It was on the first day of the week that the church gathered to break bread. It was on the first day of the week that they would bring their tithes and offerings. They cherished the Sabbath because Christ cherished the Sabbath. And Sunday worship, in a corporate context, was the practice of the early church. And it should be for us. Because it's the same for us today. Because one of the primary purposes of this day, as we've learned tonight, was to help us know God. And worshiping with each other each week is one of the most important means of grace to do this. To know the Lord and who He is. From the singing of our songs of praise and worship, from the preaching of the Word of God, to living life together, is the means of grace that God has given us on this day to know who He is. And so when we gather here for worship on the Lord's Day, we look back to the God who has saved us. We look back to the God who has sanctified us and set us apart as holy. We look back to the God who has created everything that we see. And it's a day where we are reminded who God is and what He's done for me. And it's a day that we should spend time to know Him more. And it's also a day where we are reminded what? We remember the redemption of Christ, but we look forward to what? Our everlasting rest. Hebrews 4, 9 through 11 says, "So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest." We don't have to work for salvation because God has accomplished it in Christ. We can't save ourselves. We don't have to work at it because now in Christ we have entered into the spiritual rest, and in the future we will come to an eternal rest that God has provided a way for through Christ. And so the Sabbath was a divine provision of God from His very finger, verse 18 says. And He has given it to us for our good and for our knowledge of Him. And God considered this necessary for a life that was pleasing to Him. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, do I see it as necessary? Now, I thought about this and looking at, I'm just going to be honest. When I thought about the Sabbath, to look at these signs and to see it as a way to really promote God providing it to promote a knowledge of Him personally, I was very convicted, because sometimes it's easy for me after we gather for church and worship to go out and just zone out and not let my mind and heart be postured toward the knowledge of the Lord. And so I ask myself some questions, and I want to just ask you the questions. What is your heart for the Lord's day? Is it your desire to know the Lord more intimately? And if so, how do you cultivate that knowledge on the Lord's day? I ask myself the question, how do I spend this day? And do I give the whole day to the Lord or just the morning? As the people of God, we find our rest in Christ, who has accomplished our salvation in what He's done, not what we've done. He died, He rose again, so that we have rest by trusting in Him and placing our faith in Him. And our faith in Him, we have ceased to work for salvation. And we have entered the rest of God. And that only comes with intimate knowledge of Christ. One day we will enter our full and final rest. But in the meantime, we rest in Christ. Especially on His holy day. Think about it. Do we use the Lord's day as a day to know Him more? We should, because that's why God provided it, and it's very important to Him that we keep it. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for its instruction. I thank You that You communicate to us. You reveal Yourself to us, who You are and what You've done. And it's an amazing revelation. And God, then You give us instruction that is for our good, that is not a burden but a delight. And You've given us the Sabbath because You want us to know You more. That's an incredible thought to me, that You want to know me and You want me to know You. Because that's the best for me. I pray that we would not neglect that. I pray that we would honor You in keeping Your day. And yes, we honor You and we want to honor You every day. But You have given us this day corporately to know You more. And I pray that it would be important to us. And I pray, God, if there's changes in our hearts and minds and thoughts that we need to make concerning your day, that we would do it. And so I'm asking you to sanctify us in this, to give us the right heart toward you, toward each other, and toward obedience to your commands. And may we live lives worthy of the gospel that you've called us to, that is pleasing to you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.